Keep current with all the hot news trends by tuning into the only urban talk station on iHeartRadio. We are the talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
Hour right here on the top of Chicago, 1690 AM WVON. You're listening to Real Talk, Real People. I'm your host, Chat Daddy, back for another evening of your favorite magazine show here at VON, where we talk about a little bit of this and a little bit of that. But most importantly, we hope that each and every night you're relaxing, relating, and releasing whatever the stress and drama of your day may have been. We ask that you please let it go. It is happy hour here at VON. And if you're at work, continue to do enough work that you're able to keep your job, but keep listening to Real Talk, Real People. So, you know, each and every night during this time, this is what we call our Less Talk Hour. And each evening, I do my very best to try to bring you some of the most stimulating conversations ever on various topics, whether it's life, love, health, just overcoming obstacles, whatever the case may be. And so tonight is no exception. With this being the beginning of Women's History Month, throughout the month of March, we're going to be celebrating women in many different ways. And, you know, here at Real Talk, Real People, we tend to do it a little bit different than any other show around here. We like to talk about a lot of life issues and how we can help people to be better each and every day. And so our guest tonight is really someone who I'm very honored to have her here with us this evening. She's a noted author and a businesswoman. C. Lynn Williams follows a time-tested roadmap for family success. With, you know, today's world being so hectic and crazy, and a lot of women are looking to control the boardroom, but a lot of them also are moms and have to raise children. And so C. Lynn Williams is here tonight to talk to us about motherhood. She's going to share a little bit of her life story, and I'm just so honored to welcome to Real Talk, Real People, the one and only C. Lynn Williams. How are you? Great. Glad to have you here. Oh, are you kidding me? It's a pleasure. A pleasure. So tell us all about who C. Lynn Williams is and how you got started in all of this.
You know, I like to say I'm just a little girl from the south side of Chicago.
I think Michelle Obama coined that already. No, I'm just joking. But yeah, okay. She did. Right. Are you plagiarizing her? Okay.
Not at all.
Okay, there you go.
One of my sheroes.
Right.
But I will say that, you know, it's funny how you never think about where you actually end up when you're starting out as a kid. And, you know, you just grow up. And life was, you know, going along. And, you know, we had our family challenges. We had a mom and a dad and, you know, brothers and sisters. I had that. And then life changed for me, and I got married. I did what everybody thinks you're supposed to do, went to school, graduated, got married, had kids, and then my life fell out. You know, the bottom of my life fell out, and I got a divorce, and now I'm taking care of two children on my own. And that's a big, huge change in your life, especially when you you know, nobody's ever prepared you for
Oh,
that.
No, not really. Yeah, there's no manual on motherhood like that.
There's
That's
no
right.
manual.
Yeah,
exactly.
There might be reference books, but there's no honest to God true manual. It's a life lesson.
It's a life lesson.
Yes.
And no matter, even with the books that I've written, it doesn't, you know, you have to live life for yourself. And so that's what I was doing. And I will say that my folks had gone through a divorce, but even with that, you're not prepared. So I was moved from the suburbs to the city where my base is.
Okay.
And daughter started high school. My son was a pre-teenager. And all of the things that I write about, the hormones and, you know, just a new set of kids and just differences,
mm-hmm.
you know, I was really watching how that was going on in our life and trying to hold my family together. And so I didn't initially start to write, but I was writing on all kinds of things about what I saw as different. Like the way I was raised, anybody that's gone through that generation where your parents say to you, you are to be seen and not heard.
Mm-hmm.
That was our generation.
Oh, absolutely.
Right?
Are you kidding me? Right. All these flip mouth children in this day and age would have been unheard of.
Oh, no. They could silence us with a look. And
yes.
So, you know, I noticed that the kind of friends that my daughter had, their rules, their parents were just a little, slightly a little different. They were just a little more lax
mm-hmm.
than what I was used to. My kids had bedtime, even as high school people. And so I started writing a little bit about that and, you know, counseling the kids, you know, when you're in the house, this is how you operate. Just things that
sure.
for me were pretty common sense, but, you know, that's not necessarily what's going on. And it's evolved to now where not only have I written 4 different books about parenting, different aspects of parenting, whether it's teens or mothers and sons or mothers and daughters, but I've now started speaking about that because what I'm finding, Chet, is that there is just a whole group of people who, you know, you've got children, but it's like, okay, what am I supposed to do with these kids? I'm busy.
I know. And that's the sad part. It really, you know, I was in the grocery store earlier today, and a woman had her children in there, and the children couldn't be any more than, you know, 3, 4, 5 years old. It was 3 children. And she told a little boy that she, you know, was going to take him and bust him all upside his head and just talking to him like he was some man that, you know, just to me, ignorant, horrible. I wanted so bad to turn around and just knock her out in that store. But, I don't hit women. I don't do that. I couldn't catch a case because I had to come to work tonight, but I wanted to beat her down so bad in that store today, first of all, for talking to this young man like this in front of people, and secondly, you a mother. You know, you're supposed to nurture your child. You're mm-hmm. supposed to explain to your child right from wrong, not stand there and talk to him like he was somebody that spent the night with you last night. You know, and it hurt my heart so bad, and like I said, if I didn't have to come to work tonight, I'd probably be sitting over at Cook County Jail right about now, because I was getting ready to put her in a headlock today. I really was, because I just thought, ma'am, inappropriate, you know, just inappropriate in many different ways, you know?
And that's exactly what's going on. I can remember, you know, my daughter used to say to me, you are so mean, because I'd say, okay, it's time for all you all to go home.
Okay.
Because my kids have to go to bed. Why aren't you in bed? You know, so that,
right,
you know,
okay,
that's,
right,
that's
right.
really where it started. But
sure.
I want to speak to what you're talking about with respect to the way that parents are dealing with, you know, specifically mothers. You know, I understand if you have not had that background, then it's possible you don't really know what to say to them, but you can't just say anything because that's our, as roles as mothers, we set everything up. It's like setting a room up, you know, for a party.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the same thing, you're setting your kids up for life. And so when you talk to the little 2-year-olds and 3-year-olds and you curse at them and you call them all kinds of things and expect them to be, like you said, the men and women that they will grow into. They can't grow into that.
No, they cannot.
Direction.
Cannot. I was so hurt by that today. It wore me out. And I've seen that time and time again. And my thought with that is that children don't ask to come into this world. They have nothing to do with coming into this world. And I feel as if, you know, God blesses you enough to be able to have a child. You need to nurture that child and teach that child the right way to come up and things like that. But I guess today it was a mess. It was really, and I had to step back a minute because I just couldn't take it. And it's so funny that people allow this to go on in public. And you know, so a part of what you and I are going to talk about is motherhood fantasy versus reality. And so maybe
let's get it on.
Yeah, let's get it on. Let's because I'm loving everything. So C. Lynn is known also as Miss Parent Guru. So let's start with the first question. How has the role of mothers changed? I think that's something we need to talk about as well, too.
Yeah, let's talk about that. So when I think back, I'm going to go back to, like, my grandmother, for example. Mm-hmm. Anybody's grandmother in the last maybe 25 years, mm-hmm. grandmothers were always the ones that kind of protected you from your parents.
If sure,
you
were really that's right. That's who you knew you could go to that person.
You could always go to
that's
them.
To your grandmother. That's right.
Right. But as far as mothers were, they were the ones that set the customs in the family. They told you, you know, what was appropriate for your dress. You know, they explained to you, you know, if you were a young lady, you know, how to operate as a young lady, your cycle, everything that you had to do, they prepared you. They were like your maid in waiting. I know that sounds really ancient, but that's, yeah, you know, they kind of prepared you for life.
Right, that's nice, very nice, a maid in waiting.
And, you know, nowadays, and so you, by the time you actually were a teenager, you knew how to act, you knew how to speak to people, you know, whether you liked them or not, you were, you know, appropriate.
That's right.
You had manners, you knew what not to say, you didn't ignore people or say things. You just knew how to act. And if you didn't, your parents and your mother particularly dealt with you. And it was a personal stain mm-hmm. on her mm-hmm. if you didn't know how to act.
That's
right. That was coming up.
That's
well,
right.
Nowadays, you know, and I understand there are a lot of, you know, different situations going on. You know, that's not happening. And so if you are a relatively new mother without that network of grandmothers and great-grandmothers and aunts and all of those women folk who helped you become the woman that you are, then you don't know that you have to, you can't expect the 3-year-old to walk alongside of you because, first of all, he didn't get his nap. And you maybe gave him some junk food for
mm-hmm.
lunch.
You gave him Flamin' Hot Cheetos and that red juice and that hyper. And,
so he's
right.
he's probably mm-hmm. all kinds of manners.
That's right.
So he doesn't know that he's supposed to act a certain way because you kind of hot-headed and nobody taught you. So that's really kind of some of the basis. Not mm-hmm. everybody's doing that, but that's a lot of it. And so, and it doesn't mean that you're a teenage mom. I'm not going to say that. It just means that you didn't have the same upbringing and you didn't have the training. And so we've got a lot of mothers who, you know, I was telling you when we were talking last week that I was sitting in a restaurant because I love to watch families.
This is a
remember?
Great story. This is, yeah, go
oh
ahead.
Oh, my gosh. This broke my heart. So I'm looking. Right. I'm sitting by myself. And, yes, I'm an introvert. So for those, I know you all don't believe me, but I really am. So I sit. I get energy from watching people and sitting quietly and reflecting. And so I was watching. It was a mother. I'm sure she was his mother. And this little boy. And he couldn't have been more than, if he was 4, I'd be surprised. I think he was 3. But he was sitting. He was on his own. He was sitting across from her. But she was dead in her phone. And she looked up maybe 3 times in the 45 minutes I watched him. And so I looked at him and I waved because, you know, little kids are cool. You know, he waved back. But that was the only interaction he had pretty much with an adult. And I felt bad for him. I said, here he is. You know, he's got his mom. They got the afternoon together. I don't know what's going on with her.
Mm-hmm.
But all she has to do is engage him.
And she was stuck in what?
And she was stuck on stupid. I mean, she was mm-hmm. stuck on that phone. And so mm-hmm. now here. So let's transfer him. Let's say he's 3. So let's go 10 years from now. When you want to have a conversation with him, when you want him to talk to you because he's your teenager and you mm-hmm. want to know what's going on, he don't have time for you.
No. Mm-mm.
He's found somebody else, a
That's
whole
right.
group of people, appropriate or inappropriate to talk
and
to.
Nine
and
9 times out
you.
Of 10, it's inappropriate.
And it's usually.
And then that's why when we turn on the 10 o'clock news, we hear, Lord, not my baby, not my baby, oh, not my. And yes, it's your baby. It's your baby because you didn't pay attention to your baby
right.
or you treated your baby bad when it was a child
exactly.
or a young adult. So I agree with you 100% on that. I do. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to get in on this conversation at the top of the hour, we'll open up the phone line 773-591-1690. We're having a conversation about motherhood. Fantasy versus reality. The role of a mother has changed very, very much. There are no more, you know, big mamas and people that run the house and that type of thing. Because really, big mama, she out here trying to earn her some change. She out here trying to find her a man, and she ain't got time for that. And she trying to make sure her weave is just as fly as her daughter's weave, if not better. And so, you know, and no disrespect to anyone, but that's just the world we live in now. Whether black, white, Hispanic, whatever the case may be, we have lost that that connection.
Yes.
And really, you know, to me, people almost frown upon great mothers in this day and age. You know, I don't know.
It's not, you know, when I think about motherhood, because I was, you know, I am a mother, clearly, but as I was looking it up and doing a little more research, I was looking at the fact that, you know, when you think about it, motherhood, you know, when you are blessed to have a child, it's a blessing. Mm-hmm. It's a blessing from God.
Sure.
And, you know, I understand a lot of different situations of how you get pregnant, but when you have that baby, when you choose to have the baby and the baby is here, it's a lifelong. It's not something that you can put up under the bed and go out and kick it. You know, they require your undivided attention for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, mine are grown now. I have four. And they still come back. And if they can talk to you, if you've given them that space and that trust that they can talk to you, they're going to talk to you until you're gone or they're gone, whoever leaves first. So
I love it. I love it. We're here in studio with C. Lynn Williams, the parent guru, author, and businesswoman. And she's just sharing her personal story of being a mother. And she's written several wonderful books about parenting. And just we're talking about the dynamics of motherhood in today's society. You're listening to Real Talk, Real People. I promise you we'll be right back.
When you see news happening, call the WVON News Now tip line at 773-336-3415 or send an email to news@WVON.com.
Three after the hour, right here on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 AM WVON. You're listening to Real Talk, Real People. I'm your host, Chad Daddy, back for another evening of your favorite magazine show here at VON. We're in the middle of Let's Talk Hour right now, and we're having a very good conversation tonight about motherhood, fantasy versus reality. I'm honored to have our guest here in studio with us, author, motivational speaker, and business guru, the one and only C. Lynn Williams. And we are talking about just something that is really important because people do need to hear this because there is no written book on love. There's no written book on motherhood, fatherhood. People can give you advice. You can read up on it, but it's a thing that you've got to experience each and every day. And C. Lynn, I'm just so glad to have you here tonight. So far, people have been saying great conversation, and it does mean a lot. It really does. And with this being Women's History Month, what a perfect way. I'm getting another tweet now, you know, to talk about this type of situation. So I want to talk to you about what are the traits of being a mother. You know, what are the necessary traits that one would have to be a great mother? Because a lot of people lay down and have that baby and have no idea.
You have no idea. You have no idea. If you knew what was waiting for you on the other side, you would not lay down.
Mm-hmm.
Some of us would just not.
Just not lay down. Just never mind.
But when I think about traits for, to being a mother, I think about things like, and some of this is going to sound cliche-ish, and I don't care, but love. You know, you really need to, I mean, like, one of the things that I wrote in my blog today is that, you know, when I became a mother, I thought I knew how to love. You know, you have that little boyfriend or whatever. I thought I knew how to love, but your kids teach you how to love, you know, and you have to be willing to make a commitment because, you know, motherhood is a lifelong commitment. You know, you have to be consistent. So when you tell them no, no has to mean no.
Okay.
It can't mean no right now because I'm tired of you asking me. And then, you know, next week you ask me again and it's yes. No is no. So you have to be consistent as a parent. And you got to be patient. You know, and that was something I had to learn. You know, I was not the most patient person, but, you know, it's a process. It's a day-by-day process. And so those are the traits. I mean, there's probably lots more people will come up with, but those are the things that I think of that right off the bat you want to have, whether your child is, you know, a month old or 45 years old.
Okay. And that's just important. Huh. Interesting. I don't know. Huh. Okay. Whether newborn or 45. Mm-hmm. And I guess a mother is always learning. Like, it's a continuous learning process. Like, you as a mother, did anything ever come to you that was just like, oh, my God, how do I handle this? And where did you go to find answers for those type of situations?
Well, this is a true story. When my daughter was first born, she's my firstborn, I asked her dad, can we just take her back to the hospital? Because her lungs were so loud. When she cried, I literally just wanted to pack her back up and take her back to the hospital.
Oh, I love it.
Said, oh, please help me, Jesus. I mean, I just didn't know what I was going to do because I was a corporate woman, but I was not prepared for this little baby that I couldn't seem to satisfy. And I think that happens to some of us, you know, when we're first starting out with our kids. I think the other time period where you just are completely beside yourself is when they become preteens and teenagers.
Mm-hmm.
Because now not only do they think it, they say it, and you're like, I'm getting ready to hurt you. And some of us, like, punch them out. But,
sure.
You know, they're growing. You know, they're really just repeating back to you what you've said to them all their lives. And we just don't realize it.
Really?
So, and then I think the other age is, you know, what I'm experiencing now with my adult children is that when they're adults, you know, really when they're coming back to you, they really just want you to listen. And that's a skill you have to still build. You know, I have to remember, okay, they don't want you to say something. They just want you to listen because they're going to work it out, but they just need a sounding board. And so, you know, those are the things that I would offer.
Oh, my goodness. I do. I love that. I think it's wonderful. When we come back from the top of the hour in national news, we're going to open the phone lines if people have any comments. Actually, we're going to let you stick around a little bit with me tonight because I just think this is because it's a lot, you know, more that we want to talk about because I really do want to talk about some of this youth violence and why, you know, we think that some of our young people are wilding out, as they would say. And you know, it's a lot of things that we really do need to cover. So I'm glad you're here tonight.
Oh, thank you.
So listen, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to call in and kind of join this conversation, or if you have a couple of things you want to say to C-Lynn and myself about being a mother, maybe some lessons you've learned or some tips that you want to share with this listening audience, 773-591-1690. Now playing at the Tony Award-winning Steppenwolf Theater, Straight White Men, a ruckus, surprising, and fearless family drama by experimental playwright Young Jean Lee. Called Fascinating and Hugely Arresting by the Chicago Tribune, Straight White Men has been extended to March 26th due to popular demand. Use the code WVON for $20 off your tickets at steppenwolf.org. Go out and see Straight White Men. Now, that's a whole other story in itself. So listen, ladies and gentlemen, when we come back from national news and all that great stuff, we're going to continue our conversation about the greatest role that any woman will ever have, and that's the role of a mother. And we're talking about motherhood, fantasy versus reality with my good friend C. Lynn Williams, the parent guru. You're listening to Real Talk, Real People. We'll be back.
From the Xfinity Studios at WVON.
We're your original social media.
You're listening to Art Chat Daddy Sims on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
Yeah.
8:07 p.m. right here on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 a.m. WVON. You're listening to Real Talk, Real People. I'm your host, Chat Daddy, back for another evening of your favorite magazine show here at VON, where we talk about a little bit of this and a little bit of that. But most importantly, we hope that each and every night you're relaxing, relating, and releasing whatever the stress and drama of your day may have been. We ask that you let it go. It is happy hour here at VON, so you should have your favorite beverage. We don't care what it is. And if you're at work, continue to do enough work that you're able to keep your job, but keep listening to Real Talk, Real People. Well, that sounds really good, Joseph. A refreshing beverage before this last hour is over. Thank you, Thirst Fuchsia. We appreciate you. So I want to remind everyone to tune into the Thursday night edition of Real Talk, Real People. You know, I come on at 6:35 p.m. tomorrow night after the Urban Business Roundtable hosted by Mecat Brown. And tomorrow night, I have another great show planned for your listening pleasure. How many of you are currently single? Maybe you had been married for many years and you've been divorced and you want to get back out here on the dating scene, or you could be a widow and, you know, it's time for you to get back out and meet somebody, but you're not necessarily sure about what you should do. So I have an expert coming in tomorrow night to talk about the benefits of dating for love for the mature adult. So this is for people that, you know, are a little bit older. You've maybe been around the block a few times and not necessarily wanting to stay on that block anymore and get off that block. Y'all know what I mean. And so we're going to have somebody to talk about dating for love for a mature adult. And I do agree. I think that's really good. And then we're going to meet some twin sisters tomorrow night that are young millennial women who decided to write a book called The Power in Your I Am. And this book speaks to millennial women about don't get caught up in all this ratchetness and hot mess and all these dudes with these fast cars, and you were raised a Christian girl and now you a woman and you're going to forget your value. So we're going to put them in check tomorrow night too. So make sure you tune in to the Thursday night edition of Real Talk, Real People, where all we do is just check folks on things, but it's the best checking you've ever had. And I want to remind everyone that if you have nothing to do this coming Friday evening, please join me for a beautiful evening of music. I'll be hosting an Indie Soul Music Day live series at Sip and Savor in the South Loop, which is 2339 South Michigan Avenue. Doors open at 7 p.m. The show is from 8 to 10, so you don't have to be out all night. There's plenty of parking. It's $10 at the door for general admission and $20 for VIP seats. I look forward to seeing each and every one of you. There are some wonderful artists, and indie soul artists are people who are really trying to make a name for themselves. They're great singers. I was there last month for the showcase, and it was amazing. People come from all across the country to do this showcase, and it happens once a month, and I will serve as your master of ceremonies Friday night. And if nothing else, if y'all love me on this radio, you need to see me live and in person. Yes, you do. So I'll see you guys Friday night at Sip and Savor from 7 to 10 p.m., all right? So let's get back to our conversation at hand. We're sitting here with my good friend C. Lynn Williams, author, motivational speaker. She is known as Miss Parent Guru. She is the creator and founder of Finding Superwoman, which is a 12-week mentoring curriculum for professionals and entrepreneurial women on how to be better wives and mothers. And I just think this is so needed right now. I know these bougie women need it, but we need to also reach back and just help everybody. You know, I mean, am I right or wrong?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So where did we leave off, my dear?
Well, we talked about traits for being a mother, and I think we were heading into some discussion about, let's talk a little bit about some of the violence.
Please do, because I think it's such a hot topic right now.
Yeah. I mean, you know, first of all, my heart goes out to anybody who has had a child and lost a child, mm-hmm. you know, and then to, you know, whatever the circumstances, but to lose them in the prime of their life to violence is just, I just can't even imagine it. Don't ever want to experience it. But let me just talk about it. What is amazing to me is I'm going back to the conversation that we had a few minutes ago mm-hmm. about that little boy who all he just wants at the young age of 3 or 4 is his mother's attention or his dad's attention. But if he can't get anybody's attention, guess what, folks? He is going to find somebody to talk to. right? And hopefully it will be somebody positive, but generally it is somebody negative, just somebody who has the time and attention. So, you know, if you don't have time for your kids, I always say, especially your, you know, as they're growing up, then they reach out to whoever's available, whether it's, you know, the local dope dealer, whether it's a gangbanger, you know, whether it's, you know, the dirty old man down the street. It doesn't really matter who that person is. It's somebody that's giving your child the attention that they really are trying to get from you.
Mm-hmm.
So some of this violence that's out here, those people don't care anymore about your kids. You know, they can't care about them as much as you do, but they have the attention of your child. And so, you know, maybe they're violent people. Or maybe you're in a household with violence. And so, you know, what happens is, you know, kids are never really good about doing what we say. They're more about what we do. And so if they are experiencing violence around them, you know, that's all they know. And that's what they give back. And so they don't know anything about, you know, if I'm going to shoot you, I'm just going to shoot you. I'm not going to try to shoot everybody around you. They get everybody because they're young. They're, you know, and I'm not trying to justify it, but mm-hmm. when I see, and please forgive me, I know I'm going to get some terrible mail on this, but I just got to say it. Your kids need to be home at night. When there's curfew, your 10, 11, 12, 13, 14-year-old kids, sons particularly, their behinds need to be in-house.
Wait, either. Joseph, do me a favor. Hit our favorite button, which is called the hallelujah button. I don't know why you think you get some mail on this.
Oh no, you ain't.
And if that's the case, address it to ChatDaddy at WVON. Look, we tell the truth on this show. We don't candy coat it. I agree with you 100%. It hurts my heart to see young people on bus stops late at night, even young girls with baby strollers and things like that. Like, you know, I hate we live in a world now because I'm the type of person, if I see a young lady on a bus stop with a baby, I really do try to offer a ride. But, you know, again, I don't want to get,
we can't do that.
We can't do that right. anymore. But I've seen that young girls, teenage girls with babies on bus stops and young men and boys out in the street. You're mm-hmm. right. If there's a curfew in this city, then
enforce
it needs
it.
To be respected.
It's
and I agree.
It.
Yes.
And so here's the deal. So let me just set the scenario for you. You've got, you know, I can remember my grandmother used to send me to the store, but it would be early in the morning before school. Go get me a newspaper is usually what I
That's
had to
right.
do.
That's mm-hmm. right.
And that was it. Come back home. But at, you know, when the street lights come on, I know I'm touching somebody's raw nerve here. When the street lights are on, you are in the house. That's got to be it today, especially with the times that we have. And so when that's not happening, if you're not paying attention, and, you know, you say, you know, where are your sons? Oh, they're out playing basketball. Not after dark. All right? Because, no, they need to be at home so that they can prepare for school the next day. What do you mean they're not in school? I mean, so there's a whole conversation that I like to have if that's not what's going on in your household. And so when we are not being consistent in our parenting with our young people, whether they're daughters or sons, when they're not listening to you, please come and talk to me, because this is the time that if they don't like you, they're not supposed to like you. You, the parent, you're holding the responsibility. You're holding the line for them. That's really what they need from you. They need you to say no. And explain to them, you know, yes, you might think I'm a mean parent right now, but you'll thank me later. Isn't that what they used to tell us?
Yeah, because, you know, the one story that resonates with me more than any story of a mother and child situation, and I'm sure there are others, but the one that sticks out in my mind now is Whitney Houston and her daughter, Bobby Christina. Like mother, like child. And again, that's because of probably what Bobby Christina saw all the time mm-hmm. and the environment that she was in. And, you know, I tell people I don't take sides, whether it was Bobby Brown, Whitney Houston, whatever the case may be. You know, some hot mess had to be going on
Absolutely.
For that situation
Absolutely.
To end up like that for both of them. And that's really how a lot of situations are happening right out here in the world we live in today.
I mean, let me just turn my attention to mothers and daughters right now. So let's say, for example, you've got a young daughter. I happen to have gone to school with girls whose mothers would tell them to look a certain way or dress a certain way for a guy, you know, so that they could, you know, we want you to marry the right kind of guy. What is the right kind of guy? Just because he's got money, he looks a certain way. All of that can go away in a day. in an hour. You know, so what what are the values that we're teaching our young people? And so with the daughters, you know, instead of you trying to help her get a husband, teach her, you know, everything that she can do to be successful, whether it's managing money, you know, managing, you know, responsibilities, can she cook, you know, clean the house, all of those things, that she know how to get a job and how to talk to people and manage her way, because you won't always be with her. You want her to be successful whether you are with her or not. And so these are the kinds of things that when we prepare our young people, then they are able to manage whether we're with them or not. And quite frankly, you can tell if we're doing the good job, because those that are still with us, and I'm not saying that, you know, those that are still with us, we haven't finished the job, quite frankly.
Okay, all right. Now, when we come back from break, I do want to talk about the mother and son dynamics, if we could, little bit. And then I want to talk about the role that social media plays in parenting nowadays and these reality shows. And then I even think I want you to help me with the Dear Chat Daddy letter. You just stuck here at 9 o'clock. Let the hubby know you'll be free at 9, because this is amazing. Yeah, this is a conversation that we really do need to have. You really do need to call somebody, tell them to tune into this, because a lot of this stuff that is going on in our streets in Chicago, Atlanta, L.A., wherever it is that you're having this problem, it all goes back to parenting style. It all goes back to, if your mama don't know how to do it right or your daddy don't know how to do it right, then you're not going to know how to do it right.
You're not going to do it right.
That's
not
right.
At all. I asked you to reach out to me on social media, Ms. Parent Guru, on Instagram and Twitter. Also, reach out to me.
No, you ain't leaving. You be good. You'll plug all that.
So that they can call in.
Oh, 773-591-1690. 773-591-1690. If you guys want to chime in, they're listening to this. That's why they're not calling. They're enjoying this conversation. You're listening to the Wednesday night edition of Real Talk, Real People. I promise you, we'll be right back.
Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Snapchat, YouTube. We're everywhere.
Everywhere. Everywhere.
Get social with us. The Talk of Chicago, 1690 AM WVON.
Chicago, 1690 AM WVON. You're listening to Real Talk, Real People. I'm your host, Chat Daddy, back for another evening of your favorite magazine show here at VON, where we talk about a little bit of this and a little bit of that. But most importantly, we hope that each and every night that you are relaxing, relating, and releasing whatever the stress and drama of your day may have been, We ask that you let it go. And if you are at work, continue to do enough work that you're able to keep your job, but keep listening to Real Talk, Real People. On the next Perry Small Show, the roots of the Haitian Revolution are black features. There is no black feature without honoring the Haitian Revolution, too. And lawmakers in 14 states have introduced at least 32 bills proposing that members of law enforcement are included in hate crime protection. Blue Lives Matter. Also, this fiscal year alone, the state's mandatory funding has shortchanged CPS and its students by approximately $500 million. Chicago schools seeks immediate halt to discriminatory state funding. All this and so much more on the Perry Small Show from 9 a.m. to 12 noon, right here on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 a.m. WVON. So I have in studio with me, and thank you guys so very much. You know, my guests get so nervous when the phone lines don't ring, and I said, don't get nervous. I said, these people are enjoying this conversation, and they don't want to interrupt it because this is a conversation that is very important to have. Now, if you just want somebody to shout you out, here you go. Hey, C. Lynn Williams, glad you're here tonight. You're doing a great job. So I just did it for you. They are enjoying this, and that's why I know. So I tell people, don't get alarmed when the phones don't ring. These people are listening to this conversation tonight, and I really do appreciate you being here. So, ladies and gentlemen, C. Lynn Williams is an author, motivational speaker. She is known as Miss Parent Guru. She's breaking it down tonight just about parenting. As you all know, March is Women's History Month. Today is the first day of Women's History Month. And I thought, what a great conversation to have on the first day of Women's History Month. The most important job any woman will ever have, and that's the job of motherhood. And so we're just talking about the fantasy versus the reality of it. As a man, this is very refreshing to me because, no, this is something I can never experience. No man can ever say, the mama thing, unless, it's one of them weird things that's been on the Maury Povich show or something, but not, just everyday regular dude. He's not going to be able to say, I'm a mother. And so thank you so much for being so open and honest with us tonight and sharing this information.
It's my pleasure.
Okay. So let's get back. So we kind of stopped off on the youth and the violence. Let's talk about the mother and son dynamics, because a lot of times that's a very interesting dynamic. You know what I'm saying? The mother-daughter is one thing, but that mother-son is something else. And I was a mama's boy and a grandmama's boy and, that type of thing. And that bond is deep. But then, mamas and grandmamas and sons and grandsons do eventually fall out over stuff. And so how is that role defined?
That's like you said, it's an interesting dynamic because I don't know what it is with, a little child, a little male child. You have them. They're so different from your daughters. And if you've had one of each, mothers out there know what I'm talking about. They just capture your heart pretty much like daughters do their dads. And it's a love affair, instant love affair, and you want to do everything you can for him. The only problem with that relationship is that you find that you're doing everything for him into his adult life, whether he's a teenager, a 20-year-old, a 45-year-old. And so you really have to, the role of the mother and son. We will defend our sons to their dying day, and they could be as wrong as two left shoes. So, it's important to, with that son of yours, is I always say, and I learned this, I was teaching high school boys, and my son was in high school at the time, and so it was really a great lesson. I felt like I was in training ground where I got a chance to watch and to understand, what it is about that male dynamic, and you don't need a lot of conversation with a male.
Mm-hmm.
And mothers are used to a lot of talking. We're going to talk and talk and talk till you understand us. Well, that works for our daughters, but not for our sons. And so, you have to say what it is you want and hold them responsible. And a lot of times that's not what we do as mothers. We continue to say, we fuss. You didn't take the garbage out. Well, when are you going to take the garbage out? Okay, so then they turn a deaf ear to you rather than saying, when I get home from work, the garbage needs to be out by the curb or by the alley, wherever it is supposed to be taken out to. And then there's some consequences if that doesn't happen. And until we learn that lesson, and that's what I write about in my book, The Pampered Prince, until we learn that lesson, then the sons continue to wrap us around their fingers with no accountability. And that's why a lot of times the boys are out here and they're no good for the women that they meet, and they're no good as husbands because we have not done our jobs helping hold them responsible.
Well, I know one thing. What you just said made the phone lines go bloop, 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 bloop. They lit up now. They don't. Wow, interesting. Yeah, but that mother and son, isn't that how that works, though? Like the mother and son has that bond and the father and daughter have that bond. And because a lot of times you meet the mother and daughter that have a lot of, you know, issues with each other. And what causes, though? Is it hormonal? Is it because I'm a woman, you a woman? Or how does that work?
So it is an entirely different dynamic. So, you know, culturally, you know, guys are used to being taken care of, right? And that's what we do. We take care of our men, whether they are our boy men, you know, our young child, or whether it's our boyfriends or our husbands, significant others, we're used to taking care of them. With our daughters, I don't know why we think that they're just going to grow up magically and be awesome.
Okay.
And they do.
Yes.
But it's just, there's a different gene. So when you, what I am encouraging women to do with their daughters, and that's why I have programs, is to nurture and love them just like you do your son.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just shower them with, you know, I love you, you're beautiful. Because if we feed that to our daughters, you know, even though it's nice for them to have their dads tell them
sure,
that as well.
Sure.
As a mother, you are reinforcing, you know, it's Women's History Month. Reinforce that daughter. She is only going to be the queen that you help her become when you talk to her and you show her and you don't say, God, have you picked up some weight? You know, we're really good about being.
Because I do know a lot of mothers that are really insulting to their daughters. Like they stay in a competition or wanting to fight each other over things. And I'm like, no, you need to compliment her and love
right.
her. And yeah.
Right. And I mean, you know, I can't tell you how many, you know, women have said to me, you know, my mother's coming to stay with us for a week. Oh, my God. Why? Oh, my God. I mean, she's your mother.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Right.
So, you know, I say lose some of that sarcasm and criticism, whether it's with your daughters or your sons. And instead, you know, bite it back. If it's on the tip of your tongue, let it just slide back down your throat and instead come out with a compliment. You know, maybe they have picked up some weight, but they know they picked up some weight. You don't have to tell them. You know, instead you might say, you know, you really look beautiful to me today. That's what you want. And that's what they want to hear. That's what they need to hear.
How can we stop this? How come you ain't got no man yet? Or how come you not married? Where's my grandbabies? Are you gay? I mean, you know, because a lot of mothers will go there and just it may not be people's time. People are not connecting like they used to or not in relationships anymore like that. So how do you kind of check mama politely on that?
So, you know.
Right. You know you got to check her politely, though. But you got to check her politely.
You do have to check her.
Right.
And I tell you, I think about with my own daughter who's getting married in a couple of months, who I just love to pieces.
Now, was this the same baby you was trying to send back to the hospital when she was born?
This was the same. Look, you know, they did a little trick on me.
Right.
Let her grow up a little bit.
See,
I'm going to make you proud of her. Just let her grow up. Don't be mad at her.
Okay, right.
Don't take her back yet.
I'm so happy to hear that because you were trying to take the poor child back when you first got her.
Can I please give her back
right,
to the
okay,
hospital.
Very nice. Well, thank you, ma'am. I'm so glad to know this daughter is getting married.
But let me tell you what she did. I meddled into something that I didn't need to meddle. She is an adult, and there was a guy she was dating at the time that I just knew if he had a little more prodding from me that he would, you know, pop the question in the way, just like you're saying. And that had nothing to do with C. Lynn Williams. That had something to do with their relationship. And so being the, you know, boss mom that I thought I was, I reached out to him, sent him a little text message, not knowing that he would immediately share it with her. And what she did ever so nicely, she put me on timeout.
Really?
She put me on timeout. She did not talk to me for about 2 weeks straight.
Okay.
I sent her text messages. I called. She did not return my call. And it took me probably a good week to realize, you are on timeout, Missy.
Oh.
She never said anything unkind. She wasn't disrespectful. But she just withdrew. And now this is a child that I talk to every single day.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know.
Well, I can only imagine, because the mother and child dynamic, and when something like that goes down, I've been in that situation. People, I'm sure everybody listening has been there. It's hurting. It's very, mm-hmm. you know, and just to heal that and get it back to where it needs to be, I'm sure is, you know, a mess. Let's continue. Let's take some calls on the live line. We have Lisa on the west side. Good evening, Lisa. Thank you for holding and welcome to the show. How are you?
Hi, and hi to your guest. Hi, Miss Williams. How are you?
Hi,
you know, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, go ahead. We're listening to you.
Oh, okay. You know, when you were talking about that mother and daughter feuding or that dynamic there, I can count three generations, including myself. I didn't get along with my mother. I don't know why. I didn't get along with my daughter. And now, you know, that's three of us, me, my mother, and me and my daughter. But now it seems like when the maturity comes, the whole relationship changes from you being that daughter, that young daughter, and, you know, feeling free to feud with your mother. It turns into more of a learning situation, because I learned so much from my mother, and my daughter, now she's 38, and we get along just fine, and we talk about all of that feuding that went on. And, you know, at some point, people, mother and daughters, they have to, you know, lay down the hatchet and realize, mother has to realize that this daughter, she's an adult, she's going to make her own decision. And one thing that you said, and I heard you very clearly. When your adult child calls you, they want you to listen. Mm-hmm. They don't want to hear anything else. They just want your ears. You're like the bouncing board, or you're the person that they feel comfortable coming to and venting. And so, you know, that made me think about a couple of weeks ago when my daughter, she was just venting and venting and venting, and I wanted to get off of the phone, but I said, no, let me give her this time.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I think a lot of mothers need to go through that. And you also said this situation with the mother-son relationship. I don't have a son, but the father-daughter, I'm a daddy's girl. I'm 53 years old.
Okay.
I am a daddy's girl.
Mm-hmm.
I can do no wrong. If I was to come and blow your brain out right now, and I told my father I need help getting rid of the body, he was like, oh, God. He calls me Dr. Faye. Dr. Faye, why did you do that?
Right.
And then he would help me. He would
there
say,
you go.
I'm not going to do this again.
Right.
I'm not
right.
going to do it again.
But he'll help you
exactly
that time.
Right. That's what my daddy would do. And I think women have, I'm one of those people who said there's a difference between a father and a daddy.
Mm-hmm.
You can tell a girl that grew up with a daddy because she still refers to him as her daddy.
As her daddy.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, a father is more stern. A daddy has no backbone. He's
wow.
a wimp.
Okay. So a father is more stern and a daddy is a wimp because that daughter can run over that daddy.
Oh, yeah, a daughter can run over a daddy. And my father, he was a father one time when I called my mother, his wife, a name, and he showed me that he was a father. He knocked me out.
Wow.
He hit me, and I was 17 years old.
Oh, yeah.
He hit me. I remember that very well, but that was my father speaking.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That was him being a father, not a daddy. He stepped out of that daddy's role and said, I'm going to show you something. You're not going to talk about your mother, my wife.
Mm-hmm.
Not to me.
Right.
So.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you so very much for listening and giving your feedback on this great information. You shared with us as well, too. And continue to keep listening and have a great night, okay?
Okay. Great show. Thank you.
Oh, pleasure. Thank you so much. All right. So what do you think of that before we take our next call?
You know what? Yes. I had never really thought about it, daddy and father. But I will say that my dad passed last year.
Oh,
and
condolences.
I was a daddy's girl, too. And she's absolutely right. But it's really interesting. I love when, you know, I'm in a blended marriage. I'm in my second marriage now. And so we had the father-son, father-daughter, daddy, my mother-son, father-daughter kind of issues to work through.
Okay.
Because my bonus daughter, as I call her, dad was wrapped right around her fingers.
Uh-oh.
And gently, I mean, like if you've ever been in a relationship where they bring children into that relationship, you step in lightly. You cannot tell another parent how to raise their kids that are already here. What you can just do is suggest and work with love through them. So, you know, he would remind me that, you know, I can't give everything to my son, and I would remind him the same thing with his daughter. Mm-hmm. And so it's taken us, you know, a little while to learn that story, but he no longer jumps when she calls. And
okay.
She,
you know, I'm gonna probably have you back on to help talk about that dynamic.
That's a whole show too,
because a lot of people need to know how to handle that. Just because mom and daddy done found them somebody new does not necessarily mean that these young people or these children like this new person either.
That's
different. Let's continue on this live line and talk to our good friend Taylor in Alabama. Good evening, Taylor.
Yeah,
how are you?
Thank you very much. And I have something so precious to share. You won't believe it.
Okay.
My ultimate goal in life with my mother, 3 days before my mother passed away, I was passing by the door, and she said, Gregory, she said, are you ready for me to go? I said, Mother, you know I don't think that way. I wish you were with me always. And those were the last words to my mother. And today, I can't tell that my mother is gone. She's present and absent at the same time. Mm. And it's beautiful. I even submitted it to the Guinness Book of World Records because it's so precious. And the other thing, Chat Daddy, I want to say is this. I am longing to talk to a mother in Chicago who may still be alive because I was in the womb when the Emmett Till tragedy happened. And my mother was reading the Chicago Defender. And I've spoken to a Miss Owens at the A. Rainer Funeral Home, and I told her that I believe that Chicago is in an Emmett Till time warp. Mm-hmm. And if there are any mothers listening that were around during that time of that funeral, Emmett Till, I would love to listen to what you would have to say because it will help to heal me from these times. And last, Chat Dagger, I didn't connect it back to November the 21st, 1963.
Wait, you done connected back to November when?
November 1963, November 21st, 1963, and it is also my mother's birthday. But I used the quote of Senator Bob Dole. He said, the only way forward they can see is to build a better bridge to the past. Today, I'm in this world, but whatever happened after November 21st, 1963, it doesn't relate to me. I'm back in my innocent state, and it is beautiful. It's like the air that I'm breathing is the air of the early 60s. Man, it's wonderful. But important the most, if there are any mothers who's still alive in Chicago who are around during that time, I would love to share with them and even be willing to compensate them for their stories if they may have been also pregnant like my mother was at that time.
Well, now you done mentioned money now. I'm sure that'll stimulate somebody, but okay, all right. Well, thank you. We appreciate it. Okay, I'm going to keep moving. Let's talk to George in Arkansas. Good evening, George, and welcome to the show. How are you?
Oh, Chad, Dad, it's always a pleasure listening to you.
Thank you.
You hit the nail on the head when we were not calling because we were listening.
Okay, that's right. I knew. I said, don't worry about it. These people are listening. This is a fascinating guy. She is. This is a great conversation tonight. It is, yes.
She's really, and I love the tone of her voice, too. She puts me so much in the mind of my mother. I'm 63 years old. My mom's 82 years old. I'm mm-hmm. still blessed to have her here. But as a young man growing up, my mother, she employed all of the things that this woman is speaking about. And at my mother's 83rd birthday, and my brothers and sisters, we stood there with her.
Mm-hmm.
She looking us up at the face. And when it was my time for me and my family to come forth, I looked her in the eyes and I said to her, Mom, we did it. We did it.
Right.
We raised up two sisters and two brothers and all of their families and stuff. And so it was that same type of philosophy that this woman is speaking about that was embedded in my mother. And I wish more mothers have it. And
I do too.
Also makes me feel good about my daughter. My daughter does call me dad,
mm-hmm.
and daddy, and my granddaughter calls me daddy. But she's also made me realize the the dynamics of being a woman, and it's making me more appreciative of who my daughter is. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you so much, George. Thanks for listening and continue to keep listening. Great feedback. Excellent. Yes. Let's take another call here real quick. Let's talk to Deborah on the South Side. Good evening, Deborah, and welcome to the show. Thank you for holding. How are you?
Thank you. I'm blessed. Thank you. Good. And yourself, Chat Daddy, and your guests. Thank you.
Pleasure.
I apologize. I had a rough day. I was asleep and woke up to what seemed to have been a really interesting conversation. I don't have my mom, but from the little that I heard, I would like to further follow your guess. And it's ironic because I did say that I would want to just chime in, and I was thinking about the brother who called Taylor, Brother Taylor, in that he talks about the Emmett Till situation. And I do remember my mom speaking about Emmett Till and her going to the funeral. And I'm wondering, and I would love to talk with him about the dynamics that's been happening since that time, and with our boys and the protection. And that was during slavery also. And there hasn't been that type of regard for the girls, because baby girl and old girls, our lives matter too, and more needs to be done and said.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So I thank you, and I thank her, mm-hmm. and I wish to leave my number off the air for
I'm going to have Joseph to take it, and Taylor,
wonderful.
Taylor, when you get a minute, call back and give Joseph your number. Taylor, I can't let you put your number out across the country like that. But call back. Joseph going to take your information, Deborah.
But I appreciate this because my passion is this. I've taken a baseball bat out of, when I was just 15, out of a man's hand that he hit his wife in the head with a baseball bat. My brothers, 1, 3, and the other 4 years older than myself, they were there when this happened. It was a crowd around these this couple. I've stopped guys on the street from assaulting their girlfriends or their wives,
mm-hmm.
and you know,
yep.
just and yep. this is something that our males have got to do also, because mm-hmm. baby girl and old girls, our lives matter too. And
that's
thank
true,
you for what
very
you're doing.
True. Oh, a pleasure. Are you kidding me? Thank
bless
you so
you.
Much, Deborah.
Bless,
thank
bless
you.
Your guests.
Thank you
thank
so
you.
Much. Thank you. We're gonna
thank
put you on hold.
Show.
Okay. Thank you so much. All right. Wow. I mean, I told you when we talked last week, I said, no, this is a conversation that needs to be had, because a lot of times people don't realize, you know, mothers play a huge role in this world. You know, it truly is the biggest job any woman will ever have. No man can ever compete with the role of a woman being a mother. And I just, you know, think that this is a conversation that is very imperative in this day and age that we have it. Before we have to run, I want to talk about, you know, all of this ratchetness we see now, mm-hmm. Social media, these reality shows, you know, mama trying to get her groove and swerve on. And, you know, and so what's your take on all this social media and motherhood and all that?
You know, I just think it's distracting. I understand it's out there, but, you know, when you think about it, you know, just think about your phone. Anybody that's got a phone, anytime it pings or you get a text message, you're going to look at it. You could be in the middle of a conversation with somebody. You know, you could be eating. It doesn't really matter. It takes your full attention. And so just think about it, and you've got kids around. Then you now, that's your kid, right? That's got your full attention. And I say with the social media, you know, let's talk about this is what we grew up with, you know. If you can't say something nice, don't say anything at all. And so what I'm seeing, you know, there is no reason to be on Facebook or on Instagram or Snapchat and say all manners of things because you feel like it's rather anonymous. That stuff follows you.
Mm-hmm.
It really does follow you. And so, you know, I just encourage people to, you know, just remember, what do they say, the golden rule, you know, treat others as you want them to treat you, and that's what you teach your children. And so you don't have to go and whoop somebody and put up a video of, you know, women. I hate to see women fighting. I hate to see guys fighting, but it just shows that the times that we're in, but we don't have to stay in those times.
No, we don't. I'm
really
so
don't
sick and tired of
it.
Matter
times.
Of fact, I've deleted so many people off my social media timelines, because I have just seen such foolishness, such carnage. I didn't even realize that some of the people I got rid of was just so damn ignorant until I saw the things that they were doing on social media, and their children were involved, or the way they handled a situation and had nerve enough to put it on Facebook and all that. I don't know. Something's got to be done soon, because I think everybody thinks that they're going to be a reality star, be famous from all this ratchetness, and it makes no
sense. And people all over the world, just think about it. You know, is that something that you would... Well, I guess it is. I was going to say, is that something you would just talk to Maury Povich? Yes, because they're going to pay you to speak and tell all your business.
Uh-huh.
And people all over the world are looking at us like, who are those fools?
That's right.
You know, no.
That's right.
You know, teach, you know.
Jerry Springer, all them shows, a hot-ass mess. Oh, I'm sorry.
Some things don't come outside of the house.
Right,
right.
You just don't. You should not. All right, so listen, ladies and gentlemen, when we come back from break, we're going to continue this conversation. I was going to get to the Dear Chat Daddy letter, but never mind. You've been so amazing. We'll just hold that letter off. Okay, I'll tell you real quick about the Dear Chat Daddy letter when we come back and see what you think as a mama, and I'm going to tell you what I think as Daddy Mama Bear. Mm-hmm. So we'll do that. You're listening to the Wednesday night edition of Real Talk, Real People. We'll be right back.
He's charming. He's funny. He knows everybody. He is Art Chat Daddy Sims. And he's only on WVON.
Fifty-three after the hour, right here on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 AM WVON. You're listening to Real Talk, Real People. Before we run out of time, I'm going to take a few minutes to thank everyone who helps me to put this great show together. The one and only Mr. Joseph Luckett, our technical engineer, news anchor, the love of my life, and better known as Buttercup, the one and only Miss Robin Lewis. Our photographer and sports enthusiast, the one and only Uncle Mal, Mr. Mallory Saunier, Ms. Edria Brown, the entire WVON staff and crew for being such amazing and wonderful people. And to you, my listening audience, one of the most dynamic listening audiences ever. And I love you guys so very much for listening each and every night and just letting me do what I do and appreciating me for what I do. And so right now in studio is my good friend C. Lynn Williams, author, businesswoman, motivational speaker. And we've just been talking about motherhood. Today is the first day of Women's History Month. And I thought, what a great conversation to start the month off with, because every woman, you know, pretty much is a mother or wants to be a mother. And mothering is not very easy. And so you've done a great job. So tell people how they can contact you and all that great stuff. And then we'll go into this Dear Chat Daddy letter before we run out of time.
Okay. So you can reach out to me at www.clynn, and that's C-L-Y-N-N, williams.com. And I'm at Ms. Parent Guru, one word, on Twitter and Instagram, or CGWW Books on Facebook. I also, if you want to just reach out to me right away, you can text the word chaos, C-H-A-O-S, to 708-501-7060. And what that does is that gives you an opportunity to allow me to send, you know, some of my really bodacious blogs and newsletters out and just kind of let you know what's going on in my community.
I love it. Thank you. I would definitely go have to have you back. You have won another seat on the show, as we always do. This is part reality show, part game show, and part telling the truth. And so you did a great job tonight. So I kind of want to get your advice, mother, on this letter I received from a listener. I'm writing you for some advice. Dear Chat Daddy, I am a 50-year-old single black professional man who recently attended the funeral services of one of my frat brothers. During the repast, I met a really nice young lady, 26 years old, pre-med student and a part-time model, who was assisting with serving meals during the repast. She and I struck up a very nice conversation, great small talk. We agreed that we would exchange phone numbers. We've now been chit-chatting on and off every day since we've met. Recently, I invited her out to dinner, and when we went out to dinner, I found out that her dad is one of my line brothers. And I'm not necessarily sure if I want to cross this line, but she and I both have agreed that we're very much attracted to each other. So now, what would you say? He's a 50-year-old gentleman. She's 26 years old, pre-med, part-time model. And he's very much worried about, you know, his frat brother and line brother, and that this is his daughter. And I'm kind of wondering what the frat brother going to say as well, too. So what would you say?
Well, there's quite an age difference right there. And
oh, excuse me. I like them that age, ma'am.
But
okay.
Just saying.
Okay,
just
ma'am. Okay. All right. Well, thank you, ma'am.
But let me say this. Uh-huh. I mean, you know, you can't help who you're attracted to. I just would encourage him to take it slow because, you know, not so much the age difference. Maybe they have a, you know, a common ground that they, you know, that they're reaching. But eventually the excitement wears off. And so if you don't have some strong connections in other areas, you know, do you have interests that are similar? You know, what do you guys have that will, you know, once the attraction and the sexiness and all of that wears off, then what do you all talk about? And that's always, you know, when you have a major age difference, I wonder about.
Now, the only thing that really is my concern is that when the mess hit the fan, mm-hmm. when the father finds out, mm-hmm. and we just got through talking about that daddy-daughter dynamic and that type of thing, I just think it's going to be a hot mess.
Oh, yeah.
Unless, you know, her dad is just one of them dads so cool, and he might be dating a 26 or 27-year-old as well,
He's
too.
He's not going to want his daughter to date
but
his
that's what
mother.
I that's what I was thinking,
no.
too. That's why. And I when I got the letter, I was like, oh, this is really interesting. Mm-hmm. So I just, you know, in many ways, I don't know. I think that maybe this relationship might not be the best relationship for them too. But she is, you know, pre-med. And I mean, I don't know. That's a two each
well,
his
yeah.
own.
He could have a conversation with his line brother. And just, I mean, like that would be the, you know, the thing to do is to just reach out unbeknownst to her and just say, you know, how do you feel? I'm attracted to your daughter.
Ooh, fix it, Jesus.
You know, nothing like head on. You might as well find out now.
Okay.
Before you really fall in love with her, and now you don't know what to do, and you know you're going to get, you know.
All right. Well, I'm going to have you back for sure. Tell everybody that number again of how they can text you, because people have been hitting me up for that again.
Text the word chaos, because that's what I talk
yes,
about.
Yes, chaos.
Chaos. Real. Kick the chaos. So text that to 708-501-7060.
Okay, give it one more time.
708-501-7060.
And text the word chaos to her and she'll help you guys all out. The one and only Mr. Mark Wallace is up next with the People Show. Mark Wallace always does a great job. I'm sure he's going to talk about number 45 tonight, the man I call the President Tangerine. I'm sure he will cover that. And when I come back tomorrow night, I'll have another great show for your listening pleasure. I'll see you guys tomorrow night at 6:35 p.m. right here on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 a.m. WVON and 1. Good night.
Good night.